the house of the Lord in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we just pray your choicest blessings upon this service. You already put your stamp of approval on us coming together. Look on every household, every family that's represented here on this morning. God, give us a word to say, to share for your people. That we decrease, Lord God, that you may increase. That we'll hear something that will cause us to hold on a little while longer as we surrender all to you. We bless you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand praise? He is worthy. The Lord is worthy of all of the praise. The old song say, look where he brought me from. Brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. Look where he brought me from. And it don't take much for me to look and see where the Lord brought me from. Amen. I look back. It's ugly back there. But oh, look where he brought me from, because it's a brighter day ahead. Amen. Jesus have said. So we thank the Lord. God bless everyone that's in the house of the Lord today. So glad to see Uncle Mike and Aunt Linda today. My wife's uncle. Praise the Lord. The Lord, Brother Mike, the Lord has brought us from a long way, brother. Amen. Down through the years, God has been good to us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we just thank the Lord. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. And, you know, we were in power hour today, as Pastor Jones was sharing out of Isaiah 65. And we talked about the new heaven and the new earth and God's promises. And what a blessing that was. And little did I know, prior to even looking at the Power Hour lesson, that I'd be sharing out of Isaiah 64 today. And actually, the Lord removed the previous message I had in my heart. And Sister Maria got up and she was talking about the three Hebrew boys. And the Lord had placed that in my heart a couple of weeks ago. It's talking about facing the fire, in the fire, and delivered through the fire, you know. But today we're going to just talk for a few moments. Our good is not good enough, but there's a cure. Now, y'all stay with me for a minute. I just want to let that be known, that our good is not good enough. Now, stay with me for a minute, because that's not saying that we're not good people, that we don't do good things, that we try to do the best that we can. You know, you can go to Sing Sing prison and don't go out there and tell somebody not you ain't no good. You'd have some trouble on your hand, you know. I know that before coming to Christ, I knew that there were saved people. My mother told me about the Lord, and it was all, you know, she lived for the Lord, and you know, and I'm saying, well, Mom, I don't bother anybody, you know, I mind my own business, and I helped the old lady cross the street, you know, and so I had all of these things that I would say in my mind, to where I say I'm a pretty good fella, but I've come to learn, Brother David, that my good. It's not good enough. See, again, as we were going forth in the Power Hour lesson, and of course, I know, Pastor Jones, you look back in the from Isaiah 1 all the way through to almost the last book, chapter before the end, and seeing what God was doing in that time. Now, it's a lot. It's some amazing things that's happening when we talk about Isaiah. Because first of all, the things that he prophesied, the doom and the destruction of Jerusalem and the restoration, he never saw it happen. It didn't happen for maybe 100 years after he prophesied the fall of Jerusalem. But God was dealing with him, showing him something to share with the nation, that Jeremiah would live and he would see the fall. And people would see, in that time, would be able to see exactly what the prophet Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, had said. And so in chapter 64, actually, the thought starts in chapter 63 around verse 15. And it's really a prayer for mercy and for God to pardon them decades before it even happens. So it shows us one thing, how awesome God is. But I gleaned something just in from verse 6 through 9 in chapter 64, because it continues to carry on the theme and the message in the prayer that Isaiah was praying for the people. All right. See, all we have to do is look around us today. Look at our nation. Look at this world. Look at the destruction. Look at the chaos. Look at the mayhem. It's a lot. Look, the sin that's rampant in our land. I believe that we need to learn from the past. We need to learn from what God has already said in his word. We talked this morning about how, you know, we have hope in Christ. We have God's promises. And that's how we as people who love God can make it through hard times, can make it through sickness and death and pain and destruction, because we have hope beyond what we see every day. And we thank God for that hope. And so, but yet we live in a real world where there's some real issues, but we have to trust God in it, but we need to call things like they are. You know, I'm reminded of Nehemiah. He was not a product of the rebellious nation for himself, but he prayed and he said, God, we've sinned. See, as a nation, he identified with his people, God, we've sinned before you. And God, we need your help. And so let me just jump in here in verse 6. Again, in this prayer, listen to what the prophet says. We are all infected and impure with sin. Is that an amen? Ain't nobody running around. Yours truly, the first one to start off. We're not walking around in no sinless perfection. No, we have some issues. You know, as long as we in this flesh, there's going to be some shortcomings. There's going to be some failures. There's going to be some sin. But thank God for 1 John 1:9 saying we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I need to know that my good is not good enough. It says we are all infected and impure with sin when we display our righteous deeds. Listen to this. They are nothing but filthy rags. On my best day, there's my righteousness is as filthy rags. You're going to see something, because, again, our good is not good enough. But hold on, there's a cure. See, like autumn leaves, we wither and fall. You don't believe it? My wife used to braid my hair. Is that right, Aunt Linda? And now she can't find it with tweezers. Things change. Now come on, he said with a magnifying glass. See, so time brings about a change. We're not here to stay. But in the context, in the big scope of things, we need to have a clear thinking of what God is saying to us. He said, like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Yet no one calls on your name or pleads for your mercy. I think that's something we need to be doing. It's calling and pleading on God for his mercy. Have mercy, God. He said, therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. God gets to a point, he says, that's what y'all want? Go ahead. You know, see, the Bible said there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I won't take a poll. I'll just throw the question out there. Have you ever thought you was right and come to find out down the road you was wrong? You know, anybody? I'm the only one ever been there. I mean, I'm standing on it. I know that's right. Is it? I had that wrong. See, verse 8, and yet, O Lord, listen to this. You are our Father.
Right.
See, and that's deep. Now, just by virtue of being human, we're God's creation. There's a relationship that will cause us to be his children. He says, and yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We all are formed by your hand. Isn't it important to know who we are? You know, the scripture says that if a man think he's something when he's nothing, he deceive himself. I had to get rid of that. I can't do nothing without the Lord. Even the breath that I breathe is because of the grace and the mercy of God. What could have been, what maybe should have been, the merciful God said no. That's enough to give God praise. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 9, the last verse, say, don't be so angry with us, God. Can you hear the prophet crying out to God? Seeing the destruction, seeing the impending doom, seeing the sin, seeing the idolatry, and crying out to God. Are we complaining today? Are we crying out to God? God, you see what's happening around us. God, you see what's happening in our nation. God, you see the war drums beating all around this globe, God. We remember Pearl Harbor. We remember 9/11. God, you said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God, you said in your word, the wicked shall be turned into hell and every nation that forget God. God, we're crying out to you today. We're asking you, God, to have mercy on us. We don't want to be caught asleep at the switch. Don't be so angry with us. Lord, please don't remember our sins forever. Have anybody ever said that? God, forgive me of my sins. And then to know that he's done it. Where you can go from walking like this to walking like this. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Oh God, my good is not good enough. Oh, but there's a cure. He said, look at us, we pray, and see that we are all your people. That tells me that we're to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And he will lift us up in due season. So we have a sin problem. Romans 3:23 say, for all have sinned, and we all fall short. And this is a New Living Translation here. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Wait a minute, did he say just a few of us? Just some of us? Just them in the back? Or them? No. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we need to be clear when we're communicating God's word. Because when you're talking to someone who's basically a good person and you begin to throw the sin word out, if a person's not careful, they'll say, well, what are you talking about? See? But we were born in sin ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Sin came into the world, and we are born with a sin nature. Anybody with children know that you don't have to teach them how to lie.
Okay.
Am I right about it? It's automatic. Who broke that?
Uh-huh.
It was anybody in the house but me. You don't have to teach them how to fight. You see a little fella, Uncle Mike, a year old, he ball up his fist. We're like, what? We teach them how not to lie.
Jesus.
When to fight or how to avoid that.
Yes.
So we have a sin nature. Some folks can be just as sweet as you can think, but you mess around and catch them at the wrong time. And say, wait a minute, is that you? Yeah, y'all remember the cartoon, The Tasmanian Devil? He started, woo, woo. He started going around in circles, you know. See, our good is not good enough, but there is a cure. For we take, this is a word we take into the prisons, at the homeless camp, for all that have sinned to come short of the glory of God. When I find myself in the prison, I don't go in there like, hey, I'm free, I can leave, and y'all here, y'all gonna stay here, but no. I let them know I could be right here today. By right should have been, but God said no. And so we have to recognize who we are. There's none good but the Father. See. So since we know that we have a sin problem, matter of fact, Romans 6:23 say, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. See, that's the cure right there. See, whatever goodness I think I have, the wages of my sin is death. Jesus paid, he took the penalty, he paid the price for my sins.
Thank you, Lord.
And for yours. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know Jesus dropped the charges? Anybody ever had a court case thrown out? I don't even care if it's anything but a parking ticket. You go down there to the courthouse and you stand up there. You know, it ain't like you're going to jail or prison, you know, but you're up there in front of the judge and you know you was doing 37. In the 35, that just wasn't right to get that ticket. But the judge said, case dismissed. Whew, you running out there rejoicing. We need to be rejoicing when we know and understand that the Lord Jesus forgives our sins. Because our good ain't good enough. Look. Romans 7:18. The great apostle Paul. The one who met Jesus on the Damascus Road when he was going, when Saul was going to persecute God's people. My God. But God got a hold to him, changed his life around. Let me just take another poll. Is anybody in here, God got a hold of you and turned your life around? It ain't no harm to say if that's the truth, just wave your hand, say amen. You know you're not who you used to be. No, and matter of fact, before he got hold to you, you thought you was pretty good. Am I right about it? Don't nobody go around to, I don't guess, some might, oh, I am bad, bad, bad. I just want to testify, I'm the worst person y'all ever see. You don't hear nobody saying that. Because everybody feel like, you know, Paul found himself as a man of God struggling with the effects of sin. He said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Listen, my flesh wants everything it can see, touch, and feel. It can't get enough of nothing. See, that's why some stuff we need to leave alone. When God has turned the light on and showed us that this is no good, that's no good for you, leave it alone.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes we're just talking about drugs and alcohol and illicit sex stuff. But even if the doctor told you, listen, man, you keep eating all that grease and salt, you're going to die. You're going to have high blood pressure. Oh, but it don't taste right. I got to have some. What? At some point, we need to wake up and smell the coffee. He said, nothing good dwells, for to will, listen to what he says, for to will is present with me. I want to do what's right, see, but how to perform what is good, I don't find it. It's elusive, see, it's elusive, because you ever been in that place? Things you don't want to do, you find yourself doing? He said, there's a war going on the inside. See, when I would to do good, evil is always present.
Yes.
He said, but I figured it out. Mm-hmm. And make a long story short, I'm going to draw close to God. I'm going to get close to him. I'm going to call on him. And when I get wrong, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to trust in the Lord.
That's it.
See, I thank God that we as people of God, we don't have a self-righteousness.
Hallelujah.
You know, like Brother Chucky teaches and preaches all the time about the Pharisee and the publican in the temple praying, and the Pharisee looked like the religious monkey monk of all time, praying within himself, God, I'm glad I'm not like this man. And I do this and I do that. But the man who was the rank sinner, who was despised by his own people, he was in the temple too. He didn't say a word. He didn't even lift up his eye. But conviction was on him. And the Bible says he beat up on his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus asked a profound question to those he was speaking to about this situation. Which one of them left justified? It wasn't a Pharisee. It wasn't a religious man. It was a man who was broken, who recognized his sin. Romans 8, verse 3. Matter of fact, verse 1 said, there's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, right? But after the Spirit. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Because I tell you, my flesh, I used to have such a bad temper, a sharp. Now, how's somebody going to be skinny as a rail at the time with a bad temper? That's asking for it. Say what you say, man? And all they got to do, whop. You know. My God. Thank God for Jesus. Romans 8, 3 and 4. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. Y'all with me? You with the word here. He said, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared, listen to this, an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. I don't care how good somebody's been all their life. Until you're born again, until you have received Jesus Christ, see, you're a sinner and you're in trouble. But God is so good that when that person that's just a good-hearted person come to know Jesus, that goodness is now on steroids. That goodness now is just, it's cranked up to another level because of Jesus Christ. He said, and in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law, which was death, would be fully satisfied for us. You know, Jesus paid it all. He said, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Our good is not good enough. But see, when the Spirit of God come in, I'm talking about the cure. And I'm sure I got a witness in here, because when you think wrong, I'm talking about somebody who's dedicated their life to Christ now. When you think wrong, you may not have touched or done nothing. You feel a conviction coming up. You hear something down inside saying, you need to repent. You need to leave that alone. You need to go the other way. You know, old song, Sister Patricia, you say, something down inside of me telling me to go ahead. It's Jesus that, boy, y'all better be glad I can't sing. I'd crank that one up right now, you know. Jesus down inside of me telling me to go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. When you do wrong, I don't know about y'all, but you feel dirty. I mean, look, here's how Christ makes the difference. Because before you came to Christ, it wouldn't bother you. That's right. You could say or do whatever you wanted to do. And just, that's right. Sure did, huh? You know. But when Christ come in, all of a sudden it's like, Oh, man. And, you know, let me ask you this. Have anybody ever had to apologize to somebody and they were wrong? See, this is what happens when Christ comes in. Because now you're a peacemaker and you're not a peace breaker. You're trying to reconcile with people. Trying to let folks know life is too short to sit up with contention and malice and hatred and anger. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know if we're going to be here or not. But we know who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds our hand. Isn't it a blessing when you know you've been set free? Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We grew up so superstitious back in Oklahoma. Don't cross a black cat's trail. Walking two people on the sidewalk, don't split the pole. Don't break the mirror. 7 years, bad luck. Don't walk under the ladder. What? And listen, but when Christ liberates you, I start looking for black cats. You know, I start seeing a ladder. I'm going up under the ladder. You know, I would break the mirrors, but that might get me in trouble. You know. So, listen to what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. He said, I passed on to you what was most important and what has also been passed on to me. Just this verse in the scope of the context is something was passed on to him who had been a rank sinner, a persecutor of the church. And Christ came into his life because, remember, he asked that monumental question, Lord, what would you have me to do? Yes. Do we ever ask that question, Lord, what you want me to do? God, what should I be doing right now? See, he said, I passed on to you what was most important, see, that's a relationship with Christ, and what had also been passed on to me, listen to this, Christ died for our sins. Who is our? It ain't just talking about folks who have already said, I'm saved and I want to live for Jesus and I want him to come into. He died for the sins of the whole world. Yes. It said, just as the scripture said, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. Said that, just as the scripture said. See, nobody should come to Christ because some preacher or some evangelist or some this or that, mom or dad just say, hey, look, just believe. You heard what I said. Just believe Jesus. Say these words. Come on in. Christ wants us to understand and know who he is. Without peradventure of a doubt, he wants us to know that he is the creator of the universe and he has a plan for us and he wants us to spend eternity with him in heaven. We need to come to know that God. See, sometimes we wonder, how come folks are not coming up for salvation? Because they haven't got understanding of who he is. And it's not their fault. Right? We don't need a blind faith. Just accept God because I said so. I don't care what your questions is, God's got an answer. See, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me move on. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 36 and 38. See, there is a cure. And somebody say, for sure, there's a cure. For what? For sin. Because my goodness is not good enough. Can I get an amen, Pastor Amanda? Amen. I just saw you coming in. He says, now mind you, the church has been born. Mind you, the promise of the Father has come. The Holy Spirit has fell. And people are excited. People are ecstatic. And God is working miracles all around. And folks, heathens are seeing, what is going on? Them people must be drunk. Peter said, no, they ain't drunk as you suppose. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Yeah. And I love where it says, and thus saith God, in the last day I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Look, this is what Peter said. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts. Oh, my God. And I say, God, use your people to be able to speak your word in love, in graciousness, and power, that somebody's heart will be pierced and they'll say, you know what? I want to be saved. I want to know this God. Because, you know, sometimes you got to get tired of yourself. Now, I know that's another story for another day, but I'm telling you, if you haven't ever been there, stick around. Stick around the word, because the word will either draw you closer or drive you away. And the word is like that mirror. You look at it and say, oh, man, I do need to straighten these eyebrows out. You know, I do need to get this sin out of my life. I need these thoughts to be removed. See, I need direction. So, all right, let me wrap up. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? You're talking about the cure, because the Spirit of God has failed. The power of God is being manifested. People are being convicted of sin, and they're seeing there's got to be, they see there's got to be a better way, and they say, brothers, what shall we do? And we need to be always to be ready with an answer for those who ask us of the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. Ain't nobody going to come to Christ, you whipping them over the head, and don't nobody need nobody to tell them how bad they are. You're going to tell the drunk, man, you need to quit drinking. He know that, but he don't know how. And that's covering up something else inside of him. But Jesus is the cure. He said, Peter replied, each of you, and I think this is very important, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. You can't repent of your sins until you acknowledge your sin. If I don't acknowledge that I'm a sinner, then I'm not going to be seeking the Lord to forgive me of my sins. It's not based on what you did yesterday or how you used a bad word over here. It's recognizing I'm a born sinner, and I want to spend eternity with Christ. I want to be a new me. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the gift forgiveness of your sins. You notice baptism do not come first in this statement here. Repent, come to God. See, as we know, baptism, that's all that is, just identifying with the body of Christ. That's the first act of obedience. That's saying down with the old, up with the new. On that note, we are going to have a baptismal too this year. He said, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, when you heard the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow. Our good is not good enough, but there's a cure. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I don't care what the end of, I never get tired of hearing that. I never get tired of reading that. I never get tired of preaching that. For God so loved me? Hello. Who was in the world and was of the world. See, but now as believers, you're in the world, but not of the world. You have a new home. Praise God, in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, should not die and go to hell, should not live in turmoil. For God so loved the world that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17 says, but for God did not come into the world to condemn the world. And if God didn't come into the world to condemn the world, why should we be condemning the world? Why should we be condemning folks? It was a guy, I'm going to close that. It was a way, I don't know if you remember this, Uncle Mike was working for the school district downtown L.A. It was, I think this was a homeless guy, but he had a megaphone. Where he got it, I don't know. But he had one message. And he's standing, he big tall guy, he said, y'all going to hell. All day long, that was his message. Y'all going to hell. People passing by. That ain't the message. The message is Jesus loves you. Amen. He died for you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be all that you can be in him. He did not send his son to the world to condemn or judge the world, but the world through him might be saved. And I love the cure. It shows what the effects of the cure. 2 Corinthians 5:17. For if any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creature. How many know old things have passed away? Behold, all things have become new. I want to close with this, and you know, I reminded of scripture, because when we talk about good, you know, how good someone is or how great someone is, you know, in us, there's no goodness. But here's one thing the scripture says, and the right word said fails me right now, but it said it is God who works in us, get this now, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Oh, my God. So when we come to God, we recognize who whatever we do good, it's because we say, to God be the glory. Oh, you sure preach. To God be the glory. Oh, that was so nice you gave that card. To God be the glory. It's God who's working in us for his glory. Amen. That he might be glorified, that somebody will be helped along the way. Don't you know everybody needs some help sometime? Everybody needs some encouragement sometime. And everybody needs Jesus all the time. So we praise God today. We thank God for Jesus Christ. In the pardon of our sins today, we give God glory, honor, and praise. Amen. While we hear a little song praying, is there anybody in here with a special prayer request today? I just want to anoint you with oil. Believe in God. Matter of fact, Pastor Jones is going to pray us out. But saints, it's time for us to get locked in, to get our minds on Jesus, to know that he still heals, he still delivers, he still sets free, and he still saves. To the utmost, Jesus saves. Amen. So while this song is playing, and just slip up your hand. We ain't the church. They're going to drag folks up here, lay you out in front of everybody. Now talk. No, we don't do that. No, but if you need prayer, you want to pray with you. I see your hand, sister. I see your hand. Pastor Jones, come on, stand up here. Amen. Sister Dorothy raised her hand. Brother Tyrone, Sister Patricia, hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything that's happening in your life, hey, Linda, raise her hand right there.
But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry.
Oh, God.
From the waters lifted me, now say, am I? It was love lifted me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Nothing else could help.
Why don't this prayer, let's stand, let this prayer be our dismissal today. Oh God, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We thank you that we are your children. We thank you, God, before any hand was raised, you already knew the situation, God. You know the unspoken requests. You know the needs. You know the pain. You know the heartache. You know the brokenness, Lord God. You know the uncertainty. You know all things, and you do all things well. Father God, we need you. We need you, Lord. You are real, and you're real in our hearts and in our minds. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. God, we thank you. Thank you for love lifting us. When nothing else could help, love lifted us. And we thank you, Lord God. You lifted us up to bring you glory and honor in the name of Jesus. So, Father, as the saints have lifted up their hands before you, your children, God, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, how many in Scripture did you tell them according to your faith? Be it unto you. How many did you tell, God, as they went, you healed them? Oh, God, we thank you today. Send your word now. Send your word in the name of Jesus. Touch these, your people now, God. Pastor Jones's niece, Lord, who's just been diagnosed with some type of growth in her internal organs, God, touch now in the name of Jesus. Father, those hands that's been lifted and been praying for a long time, God, send your word today. In the name of Jesus, encourage hearts, God. Resurrect dreams and vision and hope. Oh, God, we're not defeated, but we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so, Father, we're just following your will, your lead, God. Touch today. Give somebody a testimony that the Lord Jesus touched them today. Touch their situation. Touch their body, God. Touch their mind. Touch their heart, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody may be in standing in need, Lord, of financial blessing. God, this all belongs to you. Meet the needs of your people, oh God. Sister Dorothy's mother, Lord, bless in the name of Jesus. Brother Tyrone's wife, bless in the name of Jesus. Aunt Linda, Lord, bless in the name of Jesus. All your people, God, in the name of Jesus. Brother Al, Lord. Brother Steve, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, oh, God. Evangelist Dolores' sons and grandsons, touch, God. Touch today in the name of Jesus. Sister Patricia, Lord, your servant, touch, God. Touch, God. Touch, God. Yeah, yeah, God. For your glory. For your glory, God. Let the Shekinah glory fall on us today. Let your healing virtue flow today. Oh, God. The young families that's raising their children, bless them, God. Cover the kids' minds and their hearts, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we bless you, we thank you, we honor you, we glorify you, we magnify your name. So, Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the praise and worship, God. Thank you for every family that's represented here today. And so, Father, as we leave this place, but never your presence, let your spirit go with us, oh God. Lead us and guide us in the way of righteousness, in the way of holiness, Lord. God, we know our good is not good enough, God, but your goodness is good enough for all of us. And so, God, we gravitate to your goodness, to your love, to your mercy, to your forgiveness. And we bless you. We thank you, Father God. So bless us as we leave this place again. Bless the tithe and offering box, Father God. bless those whose hands may not have been raised for whatever reason. But God, you said that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart, and everything lay open and naked before you, in whom we have to give an account. Bless your people today in Jesus' name. All the saints of God together, let us say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.